Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q.
Hello, Jill. It feels like it's been forever since you and I have chatted.
I know, and yet we do it every Tuesday.
I know.
Just kidding. That's when they launch. It has been a while since we chatted. We've got things to catch up on, friend.
We have a lot, but before we get started, I want to check in. Tell me about your scheduling pause and stillness time into your calendar. How's that going?
Oh, it's been a magical dream having all of this rest and relaxation time in my life. In fact, a friend who listens to our podcast caught me at Carline today at school, and she said, "How's it going? You getting your toes in the sand? Are you all relaxed?" And I looked at her and I'm like, "I don't even know what day of the week it is." So no, unfortunately, I have not taken my own advice and your advice and our pod advice yet. Growth mindset, I plan to get there. But in the past week or so, my life has been mayhem and foolishness in the best of ways. I've been having so much fun. So that's good, but it's been busy fun. How about yourself?
So you know what? I started researching again, which brought my heart so much joy. And I research outside on my desk. So even though it's not necessarily like scheduled in rest or pause, it is scheduled in pleasure. Because to be honest, I love research. And if I can sit outside and research, it gives me permission to like stop and think. So like I'll read a chapter or a paragraph maybe or a chapter, and then I actually put the book down and like sit there and reflect on it. So I can't say that I'm putting my toes in the sand anywhere, but I can say that I've changed where I'm reading so that I'm just kind of already infusing that pause time in. So yes and no.
Can I that- love it. I love it when you talk nerdy to us. I just love research. I'm like, oh, you're so cool. I love you. Okay.
I do really love research. This is pathetic.
I get no, because I every time I tell people, they're like, "What would you do for fun?" And I'm like, "I would write." And they're like, "What's wrong with you?" But like, that's, you know, that's my jam and research is your jam. And so that's it. That's what lights me up. I love to do it.
Yeah.
So I get it.
So good. Well, we have the next four episodes planned out and they're pretty heavy hitters. We spent a month talking about my story, which I think was lots of information, but maybe a little bit more lighthearted and playful. And then we spent a month talking about your story and the launch of your book, which same, we had some great information, but it was a little bit more playful. The next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about some pretty heavy things. We're going to talk about privilege and why it matters to be able to recognize your own privilege. We're going to talk about how uncertainty in families and communities can actually create a lot of trauma, especially in the LGBTQ coming out process. We're going to talk about neurodiversity and how that impacts the LGBTQ experience. And we're going to talk about triangulation, which is a huge, huge concern when we're specifically talking about LGBTQ youth who have come out to maybe one family member, but not to the entire family. And how that can impact the stability of the family unit and how to help families navigate that. So our next four topics are pretty heavy hitters. So I kind of thought that a good segue to the next couple of weeks would be if you would tell us a little bit about this fun, crazy foolishness, mayhem that you've been in, because I'm freaking curious to know what you've been up to. Your book launched and you are now famous.
Tell that to my kids as I air fry their chicken nuggets for them. Yeah, life has been so interesting.
The cereal box.
Right, exactly. Don't you know I'm famous? I'm not famous, but life has been really cool since the book launch, and I've met so many amazing people and have gotten such cool feedback on the book. I especially love the feedback I get from people who are not part of the LGBTQ community and people who are friends of mine who were reading the book out of courtesy and kindness to me. And then they're like, wow, I did not expect to see my life experiences in this story. And I don't mean that I use them by name in the book because they're friends of mine, but they're people who could see themselves reflected in my story aside from the queer piece of it. And I even had a friend point out to me, she said, you know, your tagline on the book of facing big fears, living hard truths, and loving myself fully. She's like, yeah, if you just took off the out of the closet, this becomes the book for so many people in midlife. And I was like, how did I not think of that? That's genius.
I totally agree. And I, when I got to read it, I felt the same way. My story is here.
Yeah.
So I agree. You wrote an amazing book, an amazing book.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're a part of it. But so what was extra cool this weekend, though, is that Hay House, who was my publisher for the book, did their big I Can Do It conference in Tampa, Florida.
I'm so jealous of you.
And Tampa's my hometown. I was like, thank you, energies, spirits, whatever the heck, logistics person, whoever made this happen, that this conference is a month after my book comes out in my hometown. Thank you so much. It was awesome. And it was like going to a meeting of the X-Men or like a superhero meeting, because you have like so many of my heroes whose books I have in my bookshelf, that I got to see them and meet them and hear them speak. And I'm pretty sure Rebecca Campbell doesn't have feet. She just kind of like glides or floats across the floor. It was amazing. And so there were three moments or three speeches during the event that I went to that kind of really impacted me and brought me back to myself and my purpose and kind of reminded me who I was. Because the other thing I noticed too, when I went to the event and I was surrounded by all these other Hay House authors, is I found myself looking at them and going, how do I act like a Hay House author? Like, how is a Hay House author supposed to act? And the reality is so many of them are mediums and talk to angels and do energy work. And I'm like, that is just, that's not who I am in the first place. Like, I am a storyteller. Yeah. And so I realized quickly that trying to mirror or imitate them was just not true and authentic to me. And
always be yourself.
I know it's so easily said and a challenge to do. But yeah, so the first session that I really loved that I got to sit in on was with Nancy Levin, who is just such an incredible human. And I loved her book, Jump and Your Life Will Appear, because I thought that paralleled my book a lot. But so Nancy told us a story about her life and a lot of what she shares in the book, Jump. But she also talks a lot about boundaries. And the thing she said that really stuck out to me is that other people can't cross our boundaries. We are the ones who cross our boundaries to meet them.
Yeah,
and I was like, whoa.
People don't understand that.
Yeah, it was a complete kind of reframing for me of, you know, I hear people a lot, including myself, say, oh, this person crossed my boundary, or this person is like pushing my boundaries. And I guess I can understand how people will like try and goad you into doing things that maybe you were trying to draw a limit on, but you are ultimately the one who crosses the line and breaks your own boundary. So
I'm thinking of that. And can I rephrase it a little bit?
Oh, sure. Yes, please.
If I say it differently than Nancy said it, then definitely correct me, because she's way a professional on this. But it's not necessarily that we break our boundaries, but we don't hold firm the consequences of the boundaries. So like a lot of people think that we have to tell people what our boundaries are. And actually, we never even have to speak them to anybody else. But where a lot of people kind of get boundaries wrong is they don't understand what the consequence is going to be. So like my boundary might be that my bedtime is 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. As a stay-at-home mom, I really, really needed to get to bed by 10, let's say. But then at 10:05, my child came in, and 10:10, my husband came in, and 10:30, my sister called, and I answered all of those things. Then I was the one that allowed them to cross the boundary. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with them coming in. It's me saying, me not holding firm. My bedtime is 10, save it until tomorrow. And that's where a lot of people get that wrong. I can tell everybody in my world that my boundary is a 10 p.m. bedtime, but if I keep letting them come in, it's only me who doesn't honor my boundary. Nobody else has to honor it. It's up to me to know what the boundary is, honor it, and hold firm to it.
Right. And that does remind me that Nancy did say in the session, no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to explain the why of it or the how. It's just no. No, thank you if you want, whatever you want to do. But
I think that's why people have such a hard time with boundaries, is they think that it's like this thing that we say to everybody else, and then they have to obey this rule that we
right.
No, like I said, nobody else even ever has to know that I have a boundary.
Yeah.
It's just me saying, oh, it's 10 and my bedtime is 10.
Yeah. So that was a really good reminder to me of not having to, I still have a lot of boundary issues when it comes to communication and text messages and social media messages and emails and everything else. And then Jen was with me at the event, and it reminded me kind of to enforce my boundaries of like, I want to be present at this event, and I want to be present with Jen, who is here with me. And so I have to tap out of the social media and the emails for a while. So that was one really good session for me that, again, brought me back to myself. The next session, and I was a ball of tears for this one, and I was so surprised by it because I wasn't expecting that to happen. I saw Jim Quick's, he's the author of Limitless, and was known as the boy with the broken brain, and, you know, has gone on to have these amazing learning how to learn kind of techniques and trainings and speed reading and all the things. Fabulous speaker. I was so engaged throughout his presentation, but the one thing he said that really hit me is that he was talking about gratitude, and he said, what if the only things you had tomorrow were the things you showed gratitude for today? And I love that, because I know that in the past, sometimes I've struggled to find things to be grateful for. And I've talked to other people who just say, my life is falling apart. You know, what am I supposed to show gratitude for right now? But when you reframe it as thinking about like, well, what if all of this was gone tomorrow? What are you grateful for? And then you start getting down to the granular of like, well, this old pair of flip-flops, I'm still going to need something on my feet tomorrow. So I'm grateful for that. And this bed that I sleep in at night, I'm thankful for that. And, you know, I really loved that perspective of what if you didn't have it anymore.
So I kind of like what you were just saying. I almost kind of like the idea, I've shared with you personally, my month of May was a tough one. I had some mental health stuff we were trying to figure out. And anyway, my doctor gave me medication that actually sunk me more than helped me. So I really had a lot of lows in May, but I like the idea of going to bed, and if nothing else, being able to say, well, what do I for sure want to have tomorrow morning when I wake up? And then almost like you just said, take an inventory. Well, I definitely need underwear.
whatever your style is.
Whatever your style. I guess if I'm going to yoga, I do commando that. But I would then need some clean yoga pants.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the yoga teacher. So I kind of actually like that perspective of when things feel really low, if all you can do is take an inventory of what you want in your life tomorrow and be grateful for that. When you're low, it's hard to think positive. Yeah. It's hard to be grateful.
Yeah.
So I love that perspective. That's awesome.
I did too, because I remembered how desperate and sad and just kind of the state of despair I was in at certain points. And, you know, even when you think about the fact like, well, I could walk outside and the sun is shining. What if I didn't have the sun shining anymore? I mean, as basic as you need, but it's right. There's always something that we can show gratitude for. And then I love when he said too, what you appreciate appreciates. And that's something that I found to be very true in my life, especially financially speaking, where all these people are trying to manifest more money. And I definitely bought the books and listened to the tapes and the meditation on how to manifest more money. But for me, until I gave gratitude for whatever amount of money I had in my pocket or in my bank account, it wasn't going to appreciate until I appreciated what I had, even if it was so little.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So you don't have to tell me, but based on your gratitude right now or yesterday, I'm thinking of my social media post from yesterday. What will be in my life tomorrow? What will be in your life based on what you're just grateful for right now? Like, can you think?
Oh my gosh. So I have been giving a lot of gratitude for connection right now and the amazing people I've been able to meet. I've had so many interesting opportunities come across my inbox or my social media recently, things that I never dreamed in a million years would be a part of my life. And so I just keep welcoming connection and opportunity and with people with good, loving, wonderful energy. And the people who are coming my way are exactly that. So how about you?
Gosh, you know what? Right now, mine is friends and health professionals. I've got a lot of people right now on my team helping me get that mental health picture back. So I noticed yesterday my social media was all about just being grateful for the people and time. That's another thing I'm really grateful for right now is the people in my life and just the fact that I have this time that's been granted to me that is just, it's just so precious beyond even anything that I can even put into words.
I love that you recognize that because yeah, time can be such a gift.
Oh so. Yeah. So people and time are
yeah. Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah.
The last session that really surprised me, I found myself really drawn to Sonia Choquette when I saw her and I was like, what is this magical creature? I heard her name so many times before, but I was not familiar with her work.
No, I don't know who that is.
Oh my goodness. She is the funniest, most adorable, most magical human being I think I've ever encountered. I am in love. I'm in love with her. Not in a romantic way, but
all yeah. Right. Where's
she was, she was amazing. And so she did a presentation that, oh my gosh. And now I'm even blanking on what the topic, I don't even know what the topic was that drew me in, but it ended up being a full out dance party multiple times. I mean, she played Wild Thing. She played Lady Gaga. And she even made her own disco song. It started with a disco song that she made that was 3 minutes and 40 seconds. And she said, for the next 3 minutes and 40 seconds, we are all going to dance. And every time you do this dance move, I want you to move in a different way. And oh, I want wow. you to change partners and keep dancing. And so we were all so, I don't know, what should I call it? White man at a wedding, like stiff kind of... we were having a little bit of a hard time at the beginning. And then by the end of 3 minutes and 40 seconds, it was all, I felt like this had turned into one of those ecstatic dance sessions where we are all just moving and grooving in every different direction and smiling at our neighbor and we're out of breath and our hearts are beating out of our chest. And it was incredible. And we sat down and she talked about the fact that when we came into the session, we were all in our heads and intellectualizing everything that was happening at the conference. And she said, you need to get back into your body. We can't ignore the body. The body's not this vessel that we travel around in. The vessel, the body is a very important part of who we are. And then she said a quote, and I'm not sure if it's hers or if she was quoting someone else. And if any of our listeners have heard this before, if you can let us know where this quote comes from. But she said, when the spirit leaves you, you lose your dance. And so that was just considering that like when we're children, children dance and move so easily. And they hear music, or even they don't hear music and they just want to sway and twirl and everything. They move their arms. They're very big and expressive.
Yeah.
And at some point in our life, we start to lose our dance. And so she said, if you want to call the spirit, the connection to the spiritual world, the energetic world back into your life, you have to be able to move freely and get your dance back. So it was a lot of dancing that I was not expecting. It was incredible. And also it reminded me how out of shape I am and that I really do need to get back to exercise again, because boy, does that, it helped my mental state so much too. I had been stressed a lot during the weekend, just with the pressure of meeting so many new people and wanting to do a good job in representing my story and my book. And it was just really nice to play and move and have fun.
Wow. You told me that about the dance party before we started recording. And when you told me at first, I thought, oh, that's fun. But now as you're saying it, and I'm envisioning exactly what you said, children who dance just so freely, like children who are just so excited for the day to just even begin, right? I love that. Actually, that brings a lot of emotions to me. So I love that.
Yeah. And so apparently her disco song, I think she has it up on her website. I have to go check out her site, soniachoquette.com, I think it is. Somewhere she has this 3-minute 40-second disco song. And so she said, you can play this every morning when you wake up and dance around your living room. Have I done it yet? No, but I have been dancing in my head ever since. So I had a TV appearance yesterday and it was the first time I've ever been on TV. So I was trying not to be awkward and uncomfortable. And that is the memory that I went back to. And I was like, I went in the corner of the green room out of the view of the cameras that are in the green room. And I just did a little mini dance session to myself so I could get back in my body and clear my mind. And then the TV appearance went great. So the hooray bite for that session. What's that?
The bite lip. Toe tap, upper man, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. There was no like lawnmower and sprinkler. Yeah, none of those.
Oh, I loved all of that.
Yeah, it felt really good.
I will be honest. I had a little bit of green-eyed envy when I knew that you were there and I was fighting antidepressant medicine lows. I was like, damn it, that was a better place to be. Who needed these medicines when I could have been there?
The next one.
The next one I'm going to.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it vicariously through you.
Yeah. It was really cool. It, again, like to what we spoke about in our last podcast about just taking time out for ourselves, whether that's rest. This was not, this was the opposite of a restful weekend, but this also fed my soul. I just walked out of it like a new energized baby person that was like, I can do it. I can take on the world.
You know, I was doing a journaling activity a couple of days ago. And the thought that came to my mind, I was trying to think about play because so many people have so many opinions about what qualifies as play. Like it can't have intention. It can't have purpose. Like there's so many rules about what play is.
And I'm ironical.
Like, ironical that there's rules about play. So I was thinking, what is play to me? And it dawned on me that play actually is, which is why time is so important to me right now, but play is directly related to time for me. So to me, reading can be very playful if I get to sit by the pool and just read. Like, have you ever been reading a book and you do not want to put it down? The last thing you want to do is put that puppy down. And if you know you have to get up and feed the kids, you're like in this panic mode, right? Like, got to get as far as I can before I feed the kid. But you've got all day at the beach and all of a sudden you can finish that whole book. So to me, and I feel that way about Disneyland, Disney World, going to the rodeo, going to a concert. If I feel rushed and frantic, no matter what the activity is, it's not playful. But if I have like, if I've set everything aside and I've set the boundaries. I'm not picking up my phone. I'm not trying to capture the pictures for social media photo ops. And I'm just present and in it. That's play to me, no matter what the activity is. So I feel like if it feeds your soul, it's still rest. Like rest is the opposite side of hustle, right? Like busy. stress, like all of those things. So if it feeds your soul, it doesn't matter how much you accomplished in, you know, how many things you did or saw, it was still restful.
Yeah. It was fabulous. It was a really good weekend. I am looking forward to hopefully some quieter weekends coming up, though it's Pride Month very soon. So that's not going to happen. Anyways, we'll figure it out.
Well, I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited for you. And I'm just so proud of you.
Oh, thank you, friend. And you're I'm proud welcome. Of you too. You're amazing. Yeah.
Life is good. Life is good. There's a lot to be grateful for tonight. So that I'm actually going to take that practice with me. What do I want to make sure I have tomorrow? I love that.
I'm grateful for our listeners. We are growing so rapidly now and reaching so many more countries across the world that I never imagined. So thank you too for everyone who's listening, for everyone who has shared our episodes. If you've rated them, if you've reviewed them, anything. I don't know what is going on right now, but we are catching fire and it is incredible. And I'm so grateful that our stories and other stories can touch listeners out there. And I hope we're doing our part to help make things a little bit better for everyone. So
we need t-shirts.
Let's okay.
T-shirts. Okay. Well, I love you very much. I hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. We're just coming off of Memorial Day. So I hope everybody had a great holiday weekend and we will be back with some heavy hitters. So I'm excited.
Love you, friend.
Hey, same to you. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Queue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveintheque@gmail.com. Until next time, Queue Crew.